Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Harvest. It is our prayer, as always, that today's show is informative, inspiring, and brings glory to our Lord. I am Hans, and I'm seated next to my lovely bride, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful morning. if you are local to Atlanta, you know that we are over the rain. Done with the rain. I think we have filled up all of our spring flowers and trees have sucked up all the water they need.
And all of our lake reservoirs.
Yes, we are done. We're
capacity.
Ready.
We're set for a long, hot, dry, miserable summer.
Exactly. There is no pleasing us. Hey, we lived in Seattle for 11 months.
Yes.
11 months.
11 fantastic months.
Yeah, I know. And so these days you love them because they remind you of Seattle.
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Call me crazy.
Yep. I think you enjoyed the rain and the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very relaxed. Christian, our producer, I know you love Denver, but you would love Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's saying no.
I love the solemnity of it.
Oh, okay.
I know.
One more time.
We're not doing that. No.
Wow.
It's just, there's just like a calmness about the weather that I really liked.
Gosh, everyone's grabbing their dictionaries.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, we've got a lot going on in this month of love, not only is it Go Red for Heart Month, we are also have a big health expo going on out in the Snellville, Georgia. And everyone says, what's the saying for Snellville? Everybody, somebody in Snellville.
That's
I think
right.
that
is that
correct.
It?
Yeah,
that's, yeah,
it.
That's
wow.
right. I love it.
I like it. Good pull.
Okay. So thank you. So it's Snellville First Baptist on February.
Oh, we're almost out of February.
We're almost out of February. You're so mean to me. On the 24th of this month.
Yes.
From 11 to 1, we have the Snellville Health and Wellness Expo. From 11 to 1, you need to RSVP to get your free lunch.
And that, in case you didn't understand, that's February. 24th.
You're so mean.
I know. We want to thank the American Parkinson's Association Georgia Chapter for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a trusted resource to our community, and they support families dealing with Parkinson's. And if your loved one has recently been diagnosed or care at home has become too difficult, please reach out to them or give us a call at 888-979-8783. We would love to help you.
Well, now it comes up to our Spotlight Caregiver Question of the Week. Do you want to take that today?
Sure. I was going to wait for a drum roll there before you led into that. It comes to us from a daughter this week that is asking for our advice on hiring a private caregiver. And she's asking, what should I be looking for and what should I be asking?
Okay, so here's my standard first response. Don't hire a private caregiver.
Please.
And
we'll tell you why.
Yep. We're going to tell you why. And this is exactly the advice we gave to her. And we give week in and week out to many, many caregivers.
It's a very common question.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, you may get a recommendation of a private caregiver from a good friend at church, a neighbor. You might have actually interacted with that caregiver firsthand, thought she was wonderful and great, and she very well may be.
Or he,
but here is the top issues. Number one, typically private caregivers cover and carry no insurance. They are not bonded, they're not insured, and they're not covered under workman's comp insurance. So if they are injured in your home, you are very likely at risk for being liable for their health care and for their medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a huge issue there. Not only do you have that liability, but you also have potential liability for even litigation.
Right.
If you are at fault. So absolutely major issue.
They are not criminally screened. They're coming to you as individuals. They are not screening themselves or making public, typically, I would think, their past transgressions. So that is another aspect that you get with a private home care company, that their employees are screened both locally and nationally. So they can't go from state to state and avoid some of those things following after them.
Absolutely. Now, not always, but often, folks go into private caregiving because they have not been able to pass through criminal background screening through an agency. So, you know, not always, but often. And a lot of times, if you're not running a national screen, which is not an easy thing to do as an individual, it's a difficult thing to do as a business alone, then even as much as a private individual, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Right.
Okay. So they are coming to you and they may have experience, but you have, you know, no formal training. They may have no certifications. If you've not owned a home care company, you really don't know what training they should be trained in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just that they've sat for several people trained in dementia care. Are they trained in transferring safely? Are they trained in redirection and approach and all of those things?
Mm-hmm.
So big, big training issues. And when you go with an agency, which is what we're contrasting here, you can ask those questions. What training are you putting these people through and what certifications do they have?
And then there's the financial side. They are contracted with you all and typically...
Or employed,
sure. So you run into tax purpose issues. So you cannot write off the expenses because, again, typically these are done without a contract.
Yes.
We'll say under the table. They are not an operating business that does this purpose or performs this purpose under license. So if you were looking for VA benefits to apply to this care, it would not, because they are not coming... You're not receiving them from a licensed
person. Right. If you're looking for tax write-off, if you're looking for expenses for VA applications, you've got to prove that you have paid for this. And typically, if you're paying, you are that person's also declaring it, and there's taxes taken out and all of those issues. So all the more reason to go with an agency. Big thing that always comes up is you have one individual who's over the care of your loved one. What if they get sick? What if they get injured? Then who are you going to replace them with? And when you go with an agency, you've got an owner, managers, and a whole team of caregivers that can step in almost immediately and cover the care that you are paying them for. So yes, you're going to be paying a few more dollars per hour. To tell families, it is absolutely worth it to have peace of mind. And there's just some wonderful, wonderful home care companies out there with great owners. No company is perfect. No caregiver is perfect. We're talking about people caring for other people. You're going to have mistakes. You're going to have personality conflicts. But when you go with an agency, a trusted provider, you have more of an opportunity to have those problems solved. Mm-hmm. And have accountability.
And it's an aspect of our business that we've folded in over the years, having seen home care companies, home care agencies do fantastic jobs, and also those that have had a record of not. And so it's become a kind of a place to step in and offer advice on, hey, you know, we know through contact with our clients over years, this company has a great track record versus other ones we would not recommend.
So the bottom line is, for you calling and asking about a home care recommendation, we're going to give you a couple of great vetted home care agencies that are licensed with the state of Georgia, who have a track record of care, and who we know we feel comfortable referring for them to come in and do some of the most personal, intimate care in your home with your loved ones if you're there or you're not there, this is someone that you need to be able to trust to come into your home and do this care. And you can call us if you have any more questions about home care. Senior Provisions is here to help at 888-979-8783. Well, we have a great show today. I'm so excited. We have already been joined in studio with our guest, Jim Miskell, with the Estate Planning Law Group of Georgia. Did I say that correct?
Perfect.
Wonderful. I wrote it out.
And you read it well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, I already like him. He's going to be sharing today about elder law and what certain documents you need. You are listening to The Harvest. Come on back.
I manage hundreds of employees and run a successful IT company, but when the doctor diagnosed mom's Alzheimer's disease and told us she could no longer live alone, I was at a loss at what to do next. Our pastor recommended calling Senior Provisions. He said that they were a trusted resource and that they could help us find a community that met our current and future needs and fit our budget. Senior Provisions guided us through the whole transition. And now mom loves her friends, feels safe, and we have peace of mind.
Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs. We will help you find trusted providers for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the help that you have been searching for. Call today and get the peace you need. 888-979-TRUE.
Do you know someone who is living with Parkinson's disease? Every 9 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The American Parkinson's Disease Association's Georgia chapter is here to help. Every day, they provide the support, education, and research that will help everyone impacted by Parkinson's disease live life to the fullest. For reliable information, local educational programs, and caring support groups, please visit apdaparkinson.org/Georgia or call 404-325-2020.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We have a great show today. We are joined in studio with Jim Miskell with the Estate Planning Law Group of Georgia. Jim has been in private practice and specializes in wills, trusts, estate planning, and elder law while ensuring the wishes of his clients are meticulously carried out. Well, you wrote quite a prose here.
I put all the big words in for you. Actually, this is right off his website. It probably sounds familiar.
I didn't recognize it. I was going to say, if you needed a gig other than Senior Provisions, come on over. You nailed it.
Awesome.
Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome. But he's not quite done. You have to read the last line.
Well, if you realize, the last line is not a sentence.
Oh.
So you're very astute at paraphrasing, and I do not have that capability.
Well, all I was going to share is that Jim has a passion for all of these areas. He's knowledgeable. He's well-versed in all the nuances that are involved in estate planning and elder law. And we are so glad that you are here. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you for having me.
Just had to put the bow on it.
Well done. Well, Jim, tell our listeners, first of all, just a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I'm a practicing attorney in the state of Georgia since 1993. So it's been just more than a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Started out the first part of my career as a prosecutor. Spent 12 and a half years in Rockdale and Gwinnett counties representing victims' interests in criminal prosecutions and went into private practice in 2005. And had a general practice for a period of time. Among my general practice clients were some estate planning clients. A lot of the law, your listeners may be shocked to learn this, is conflict-oriented.
Yes.
people who are not happy. Mm-hmm. What I noticed about my estate planning clients early on was that they came with some foresight. Mm. Their intent was to avoid a future issue for their family. I enjoyed working with them. I enjoyed estate planning because there are very few must-dos in estate planning. Estate planning can be tailored to fit the needs of any particular family. It doesn't have to be like the family across the street. It doesn't have to be like your cousin Fred. It can be however you like it to be.
And I love the forethought to avoid that conflict, that future conflict. That's exactly what kind of getting all of your ducks in a row are all about.
Absolutely. And that's really the appeal of that area of practice to me, among other things. There's the intellectual appeal of it, that every family is different, so they need planning that's tailored specifically to them. But it occurred to me pretty early on that estate planning clients are only sitting across the desk from me for one reason, and that's because they love their family.
Mm, I like that.
And I decided that was the kind of practice I wanted to have.
And we got an opportunity to sit down and talk with you, Hans and I did, and we just immediately knew that we had a shared faith and kind of bring that into our practice. How does faith play a role in your elder law practice?
Well, faith plays a role in the way we treat everybody we come in contact with. But if you're looking for a verse that relates to inheritance, I think about Luke 12:13, where Jesus is in the crowd, and someone cries out, "Make my brother divide the inheritance with me." What it occurs to me is that individual's parents did not do a proper estate plan.
I love that.
Or he wouldn't have been troubling the Lord with it. And Jesus's response to me is in kind with that. And then, of course, goes on with the parable of the foolish man that stores up riches. Mm-hmm. Here on earth.
Oh, how many sons have cried out to the Lord over the years?
Well, and then go a couple more chapters in Luke and you've got the prodigal son.
Right.
Give me my inheritance now.
Now.
Yeah.
As though you were dead. Don't take offense to that, but give me the money now.
And I'm out of here.
So you can see what I do with it before you die.
Right. Yeah. If past behavior is a predictor of future performance, the prodigal son did not make a good resume for himself.
No, he did not.
Well, that's awesome. Well, there's always, you know, we get the question, we ask the question, do you have your legal documents in place? I mean, it's one of our kind of beginning questions with every one of our clients.
You know what they'll say.
Yes, I've got my will. That's exactly it.
I'm surprised they have that. Answer was no.
Well, you're right. Most of them are no, or I think so. So, you know, then my question is, do you have a good elder law attorney? And they immediately pick up on the nuance of an elder law attorney versus just, you know, Joe Schmo attorney. And so help our listeners understand what that distinction is, why it's important, and why that is the particular elder law certification that you should be seeking.
So a lawyer that concentrates in elder law is focusing on estate planning and disability planning, particularly as it relates to folks as they age. As we age, decisions will get made for us.
Mm. Very true.
Those decisions can reflect your choices or somebody else just doing the best they can for you. Might be a family member, might be a judge. Most of my clients would rather make sure that those decisions reflect their values and their choices rather than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with families is that family members want to do what you want. How do they know? They've had different conversations with you. the idea of estate planning in large part is laying out that roadmap for your family.
That's, I think, just a great approach, and a great way to look at it is, and I wrote it down, the choice is going to be made for you, either by you or for you, but the choice is going to be made. And so the more that you can prepare ahead of time and get that in writing and communicate it and understand what those choices are, especially if you have, and we talk about this all the time, a declining illness, declining cognitive impairment, those, when you have a stroke or you have a fall and a fracture, that is not the time to be making these decisions. But often that is the time that they're usually having to be made. And it's a time of crisis and you're not at your physical or cognitive best. And, you know, if you can just head that off, I always tell, it's the peace of mind. Why do you think most people put it off, Jim?
They're pretty sure that it's not going to happen to them. It doesn't apply to them. I like to say when I get in front of groups to speak that I saw another study last week that verifies that still the mortality rate in Georgia right now is 100%. That's a difficult thing for a lot of us to digest.
Yes.
Well, I think going along the lines of what we're talking about, too, is that I think a lot of people had this great faith in a oral record. Like, oh, I told you when a few years ago that this is what I wanted to see happen. And there's a huge difference between that historical oral record that you shared with a couple different people that may not have consistency to then going into an office and speaking with the right parties in place and the right authority in place to say, this is what I want to write down. This is what I want to commit to. There's just a different level of commitment and certainty and documentation.
Hans, I think you put your finger right on it. Families don't fight generally because there's a good kid and a bad kid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know which one it is. But no, not usually because there's a good kid and a bad kid. Each kid is going to fight tooth and nail for what mom wants, for what dad wants. It's what they believe mom or dad wants. And they had last summer, he told me this. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving, she said this. So I know she, well, I know she wants that. And then it's on.
Mm-hmm.
Fights like that in probate court. I did a fair amount of what I call anti-family law as a general practitioner, divorce law.
Mm-hmm.
Fights among family at probate courts over the disposition of estate, and even more so over what are the right decisions for a parent with diminished capacity, make divorces look like child's play.
Mm.
Those are ugly and divisive, and they leave marks on those relationships that many times don't get repaired.
Mm. Mm.
That is so true. And, you know, all of this can be at least headed off or avoided completely with some forethought and planning. And so when we come back from our break, we're going to talk about some of the top documents. So if you're listening and you've been listening to our discussion with Jim Miskold, you need to grab some paper and you are going to, you know, definitely be enlightened as to what are those three documents. Jim, how often should someone have their documents reviewed?
It depends in large part on age and what's going on in the family. The older you get, the more often.
Mm-hmm.
I meet with so many folks who have some documents they prepared within a year of the birth of their oldest child.
Oh, wow.
They realize, oh, hey, there's someone depending on us or is about to be somebody depending on us. Let's get that in place. Well, right. your child's 35 now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time for a refresh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say a good marker is when there's been a life change, any type of life change, a move, a death, a birth, a wedding, a divorce, an illness. So,
and when folks get in a situation where they have diminishing capacity and long-term care issues and payment for those services are at issue, then maybe an annual review is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to go to break, but if you're listening, when we come back, we are going to review those top documents with Jim. We're going to get some great free legal advice? Can I say that?
You can say it.
General. You're listening to The Harvest.
No matter where you are, no matter how far. Don't worry, baby. Just call my name. I'll be there.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We are having a great discussion with Jim Miskell with the Estate Planning Law Group of Georgia. And we work day in and day out with many, many families that have not been prepared legally for this season of life. So we are so grateful to have you on the show, and we want our listeners to have these critical aspects of elder law known and understood so that they can make sure that they get out and get their assets, their will, all their decisions recorded so that if something should happen, no one else has to divine what they were.
And have peace of mind. Coming fresh off of a loss in our family, one of the first things we did when we came home was we just started kind of getting even more organized. I mean, we had these things in place, but we definitely wanted to get a lot of things organized and prepared. And I don't want my family, you know, at any point, and we don't want the kids to have to go through, you know, having to make these tough decisions and not having our wishes in writing. So that's, I think we kind of narrowed it down to top three documents. But I know it's not all just top three documents because there's trust and things like that. But what are some of the key essential documents that every family should have, Jim?
So this is a great place to start, and it's where we start with clients. When we have referrals from senior provisions, they're already pretty well focused on, oh, this is about while I'm alive as well as when I die.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks walk through our doors and think, well, estate planning, that's who gets your stuff when you die.
Exactly.
There's so much more to it, and maybe the most important part happens before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when we set out to lay out the documents for life, we're looking first at durable powers of attorney. That allows you to extend your power to someone else while you're still alive so that they can do legal and financial functions for you.
It's like a representative, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And you'll hear the agents designated different ways. There's a lot of language around it. None of it is wrong. Some may be more correct, but you say, this person's my power of attorney. You hear that. My attorney, in fact, my agent under my power of attorney, or my personal representative. It all gets at the same idea. Mm-hmm. This person is authorized to conduct business on my behalf. And when you serve as an agent in that capacity, you're honor and duty bound and law bound to act on that person's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Powers of attorney, not infrequently, are a place where older folks hesitate. I'm not ready to give up that power. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm losing independence to do that. Once we talk through it, a lot of folks realize that it's quite the contrary.
Because can't you decide, don't you have the ability to decide when it becomes active and not, and when it's not active?
Yes.
Okay.
And the problem with not having one is that you're really cruising to lose your independence.
Mm-hmm.
Because just as we're anchoring back to what we talked about before, decisions are going to get made for us.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't have something in place, it's going to be whoever in your family is so moved to hustle up to probate court and file a petition to be your guardian, to be your conservator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not who you choose, your quickest family member. Very often the people that want to do that the worst are the worst.
Yes.
Choices. So it allows you to designate that person, someone you trust, someone that you can have some conversations with, so that they actually wrap around you and protect your independence.
Well, and I think as a part of this too, and because we had an inner kind of discussion about it, and so where I'm going to go is not where we discussed it, but it's something you want to revisit. So, you know, you select someone that's made great life decisions over the appreciable part of their life that you've witnessed. And then all of a sudden when they're written in there, some random life event happens and things derail. So it's one of those things, too, that you want to revisit and make sure that your choice is still the one that you have most calmness and most comfort in.
I love the point that you've made there is that we're always gathering evidence, mm-hmm. Information about these folks. And someone who was a great agent for you 5 years ago may not be so great an agent for you now. And as your kids get older, you know, you don't want your agent to be your 16, 17-year-old kid.
Right.
But when they're 25, you might be real impressed. I wouldn't want anybody
hoping.
Else. all of us with teenagers hope. And sweat and work really hard.
That's right. We'll see how that degree at UGA goes.
Absolutely. But the nice thing about a power of attorney is that when I give someone power of attorney, it doesn't stop me from acting.
Right.
It just extends my power to somebody else. So it's not a loss of independence.
So that's a great document to have in place. What's another really important one that has nothing to do with your stuff, but more about your body?
So that's where we're talking about the advanced directive for healthcare. And the healthcare directives combine two ideas. Years past, we would talk about a durable healthcare power of attorney, which is pretty much what it sounds like. You're allowing someone to be your healthcare agent,
mm-hmm.
who gets to talk to the doctors. If you're in the hospital bed and some doctor comes in, he looks at the chart and you go, what is it, doc? Because he looks concerned. You have that conversation and mm-hmm. together you and he can map out a treatment plan.
Mm.
If I got hit on the head with a wrench and I'm in a coma, who has that conversation? Well, my wife. The HIPAA law, the privacy law, allows medical professionals to convey information to family members.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't designate anyone to make a decision for you. You have to do that yourself by appointing a medical care agent, a healthcare agent. And that's the first section of what the standard form is in Georgia. There's a Georgia recommended form. And the first section, you appoint your healthcare agents. They function in the health realm for you very much like your power of attorney does in the legal and financial area. And they may not be the same list.
Mm-hmm.
You may have someone who's terrific for your power of attorney. They're a CPA, but the last time they walked through the doors of a hospital, they passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is where we often see kind of a division of task among siblings. Some that have a higher aptitude for the business side and those matters, and then those that, you know, definitely are more care minded, maybe even medically minded. And that's it. That's a good distribution, so it doesn't necessarily all need to fall on one child, unless that child is gifted in both areas.
That's right. That's right. Or they gave you a lot of trouble as a teenager, so you really want to load them up.
Well, related to this topic, I mean, it's something we know firsthand. There are some HIPAA aspects that get applied a little bit differently in a hospital environment, depending on who you're talking with and all of that. And I know for our family, there was a point in which that they wanted another set of ears. Mm-hmm. To hear what the doctor was saying, even at a doctor's appointment, and to gain that knowledge and to have those things disclosed to, excuse me, to the siblings, you know, the specific one in mind was critical for them to be like, okay, I want to make sure I got this. So when I call you and I said, what did he say about this?
Yes.
You can repeat it back to me and I can discuss, you know, what happened. And so there's an aspect of that you almost can't do too soon.
That's right. And I love that. That goes hand in hand with the conversation we had about the power of attorneys. You're not giving up that authority, but you've got somebody riding beside you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to get to this before we run out of time. I know that you take a very educational approach to the way that you work with clients. And so a couple of things that you're also thinking about future planning as well. Medicaid, asset protection, all of those things.
VA benefits, as you mentioned earlier.
Those are all great. So if I was to call your office or one of our clients was, you know, we referred them to you, what is kind of your process? Walk us through what that would look like.
So a call to my office, likely you're going to encounter Joanne Radke, our client services coordinator, who's fantastic. And she will make some appointment times available to you, but not without telling you about the educational workshops. We do about 3 a month. And we cover the ABCs of estate planning, the basics. Touch on the things that we've talked about here today, those three basic documents. We didn't get to the third, which is a will, who gets my stuff when I die.
Mm-hmm.
Living trusts are a great mechanism for a lot of families, and they answer a lot of questions because where wills are death documents, they don't come into play until you die. A living trust can give your family instructions while you're alive and also handle distribution at death. So that's a nice situation for a lot of families. When it comes to Medicaid and VA planning, in the workshop, we touch on the basics, the issues, and some basic options that you may want to consider. What has been very beneficial for us about the workshop is that it gives some food for thought to the clients.
Mm.
we'll set the initial consultation after the workshop. That gives the client a week or two to think about the information, to sort of percolate on it, so that when we sit down for an initial consultation, they can say, those things you talked about in the workshop, that was a funny story, but doesn't apply to our family. That other thing, though, let's talk more about that.
Mm-hmm. It gets them thinking. It's a great overview, and it gets them thinking, how can they find out about these workshops? Do you have a website? I'm assuming
yes,
you do.
So we've got a website. We do about three a month. We also publish in the Gwinnett Citizen. So they're always published there, and we have a Facebook page.
I like that ad in the Gwinnett Citizen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's great. And so what's your website?
Let's give out the website.
So it is letstalkestateplanning.com.
Easy.
Yep.
Letstalkestateplanning.com.
No apostrophe. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, Jim, you have been a delight. I would love to have you back on. And we definitely will be directing families your way,
as we
have already been doing. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up our show with kind of a fun topic for this month of love, senior dating.
Didn't see that
coming.
So, yes, they do. They do date. Why it's important for great health and longevity. How to be supportive of your friends and your family who are an older adult dating. All of that when we come back. You don't want to miss it.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
Giving back to the communities where we live, work, and worship is something Thrivent Financial takes pride in. Strengthening communities and helping you be wise with money is a part of Thrivent's mission as a not-for-profit financial services organization. That's why Thrivent is proud to support The Harvest. Thrivent Financial helps Christians make financial choices that reflect their values, something they call the Wise with Money journey. Their financial professionals are real people who apply their faith, their passion, and expertise to help you be wise with money so you can live a more content, confident, and generous life. To learn more, contact your local financial professionals, Greg Bickhart, Jennifer Yankowski, Kelly Goldsmith, or Rodney Hill at 404-YOU-THRIVE. That's 404-884-7483. Or email them at thriventseniorsolutions@thriventsolutions@thriventsolutions.com. Thrivent Financial. Be wise with money.
Dad's stroke took us all by surprise, and we didn't realize how bad Mom's memory loss had gotten. We were overwhelmed and confused and couldn't trust the information we found on the internet. We needed someone who understood what we were going through and someone who knew how to help. When the social worker recommended that we contact Senior Provisions, it was an answered prayer.
When you call Senior Provisions, one of our local advisors will personally meet with you and assess your loved one's needs. They'll help you find a trusted provider for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs while protecting your privacy. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the guidance that you have been searching for. Call today. We hope to be your answered prayer. 888-979-TRUE.
Back to The Harvest. What a great show. We are so grateful to Jim Miskell and all of his advice. We just scratched the surface. I'd like to revisit this topic of elder law and estate planning and kind of get into more of the deeper subjects and probably the more critical subjects later on sometime. But today, we're closing out our show with a great topic for the month of love, senior dating.
This can be emotional. This can be a difficult subject sometimes for many reasons. And we kind of want to just get it out there, talk about it. We aren't going to disclose too much personal, but we have firsthand experience. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really good, positive experience. And so we want to make sure that we can kind of And our producer Christian's going to weigh in on
this. He's taking notes. He's got his pen.
Because if you don't get a girlfriend, you're going to end up being a senior who's dating.
Well, we want to start off with a proper frame of mind. So there's no better scripture than this when talking about relationship. Well, I don't want to say that's too totalitarian.
This is a good one.
This is an excellent one. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one should fall, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him.
I love that. And it's just works on so many levels when we talk about older adults. And, you know, we have this moment when an older adult begins dating again. I mean, we're kind of making an assumption that they have been married, usually a lifelong partner who's passed on. And they are dealing with grief and loss. They're coping with that process. And that can differ greatly from person to person. And someone might really have even made up their mind that they will never, ever have that type of relationship again with anyone. And that's okay to make that declaration. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as long as you don't put it in writing. Right.
Well, I think we've talked about that. But
we have talked about that. But I think to say I'm never going to have a close friend or a companion to who's closer than just a regular acquaintance, you know, don't cut yourself off necessarily so quickly.
Well, too, and I want to circle back with the discussion of grief and loss. And there is no set pattern. There are no set timetables. And you will see extremes of all of that. We certainly have seen extremes with timetable, and it can be very challenging with you as the sibling, the aunt, the uncle that was the sister or brother in the dynamic. But it's such a personal dynamic to walk through that grief. And like we said, it's prefaced on this understanding that that was their life partner, and their all aspects of their life are shaped around that other person. So we can't begin to understand what that loss, that vacuum means to them directly.
Well, and I think often you have couples that are couple friends, mm-hmm. that you know, are in Sunday school class together, always go out on Saturday night for supper. They play cards together. Their kids grew up together, and one of their spouses is gone, and the, you know, now they're faced with these friends of theirs who are starting to date again. And there can be some resistance to that. There can be a little judgmentalness about it. And I think so, you know, looking at the positive aspects of why someone would begin to have a new relationship and a new companionship, and, you know, helping to kind of break down some of the fears and the I think it is fear. I think it's dealing with the loss, and truly, truly, no one can replace that individual. But someone not having anyone for the rest of their life, I think, is a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather see them benefit. I mean, we all benefit from close relationships. You know, we're going to point out some of those things.
Yeah.
It encourages activity and learning and communicating. Being nurtured and nurturing others. It's a relationship that goes both ways.
Right. And they're the tenements of a healthy relationship. So if any of those aspects of your life are stopped, then you're not growing, you're not living a full life, and you are not as active. I mean, these all work backwards. So you're not as active. You're not as engaged with the world and learning. You have that close person that you're not communicating your personal dreams, aspirations, concerns with, and you are not being nurtured. So, you know, that is, you know, the two sides of the coin we want to look at to encourage other people to support that that opportunity, and those that are kind of seeking it out to prioritize that in, you know, exchange.
And we see it firsthand in assisted living. We've had clients who
have been adopted.
Yes. Who have specifically requested very active ladies who have specifically requested to know how many single men we have in a particular community. love it. And, you know, are very particular about where they sit during meal times. And the next thing you know, they're partnered up. They're going to activities together. They're going on outings together. And, you know, whether it's a formalized, I mean, I always make this joke and I'm going to make it today. So whenever we're talking about VA benefits, Jim, and someone has a question about whether they're going to qualify, I'll say just generally, you know, were you married to a veteran? And they'll say, oh, no, you know, but maybe he passed away like 6 years ago. And I'll say, do you know a veteran? Do you know one that you might like? Because if they remarry, they have access to.
I am not in favor of this.
I always get a big laugh on that one.
Oh, okay. That's a joke.
Is there a veteran
you know
that you like very well? You know, it's definitely, and we're going to point this out, it's important that whether you are dating, whether or not you are contemplating marriage or a deeper commitment, to make sure too that you're reviewing what the legal ramifications are, because it may not be in your legal best interest or your VA the best interest or any of those best interests to make it illegal. And if it is, and you want to be legal about it and get married, and then make sure that you know what's being combined, and you can put that all in writing. Am I correct, Jim?
That's great advice.
Great
advice. I'm thinking of a client we had last year, a gentleman who went to assisted living, and on the topic that you were talking about, the biggest complaint from his family was his daughter couldn't get in to see him because so many ladies had claims on his time.
I love it.
He had a full dance card.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, we've also had the inverse happen where someone was married to a veteran and they passed away, and then they got remarried and that person was not a veteran.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. So there's, you know, you all of those things you want to kind of think through: family dynamics, separation of finances, especially in assisted living when the cost is so great. And, you know, maybe you're sharing an apartment. I have that situation right now with a client, and, you know, we've got to make sure that his income's going to be available for her after he passes away, or she's going to have to move.
Right.
So all these things are so important, but the bottom line is having a companion and having some joy in your later years is so important. And two is better than one.
Yes. There you go. Thank you very much for that timely
If you have a
overture.
Question about senior dating, if you have a question about anything to do related to senior care and senior living, we are here to help you at seniorprovisions.com.
We want to thank Thrivent Financial for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They help Christians be wise with their money while living generously. And to contact them, you can reach out to them at 404-U-THRIVE. Thrivent Financial, thank you for support. That is 404-U-THRIVE.
And as always, we love to end our show, and we're going to have a little extra time
here. Yeah, I was going to say, where are you going? I want to go back up because we have more time. This topic of a relationship and an extended relationship after a loss, this in our culture of living longer distances from one another, this is someone else that can be there at doctor's visits, remind you about medications, exercise, nutrition, living life more fully.
Are you talking about dating again?
There's time. So I wanted to inform more rather than.
It is another set of eyes. That is the great big advantage.
I'm signing out.
Well, I'm going to sign out too with Philippians 4:19, that my God will provide for all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And folks, I hope you're listening today. I hope this was enlightening and inspiring to you, but there is no greater provision in your life than Jesus Christ himself. And he's calling to you. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to be your savior. So embrace him this week. Walk with him. He loves you. God loves you. And we love you. And we hope you have a wonderful, blessed week. You are listening to The Harvest.